big and bad enough to do. And some folk find it hard to go back to Father because they don't know how Father is going to react. But there was something different about this Father. I know in this boy's mind, he was saying, what in the world is Father going to do? What in the world is Father going to say? But he didn't have to worry about that, because when he got ready to go back, the story tells me that the Father was sitting there waiting for him. Somebody said, I don't know how he knew that it was his son. Maybe he had a certain walk about himself.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. The blood still works. Well, look like my daughter-in-law saw a surprise, man. She's in the building. Amen. Amen. Thank God for her. I thought she was still in. Amen. But we're grateful to God that she's out. Amen. So, all right. I want to call our attention to Matthew's gospel this morning, because I particularly, this came back to me because of the fact that it seems as if in all of our time, there always arrives somebody with some different kind of gospels. And we need to understand that there isn't but one gospel. And usually, they always arise in the black community. And it hit me. I was listening at a debate last night and saw just how stupid some people can be and how ignorant they are of the scriptures. In Matthew chapter number 24, I'm just going to read just one verse, 14. Well, maybe I'll read 11 through 14. Matthew chapter number 24, 11 through 14, with the emphasis on number 14, where we also draw our subject. Everybody got it, say amen. Amen. If I need a little more time, say hold on. And it reads, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. For a few moments, that's what I'm going to talk about, this gospel. This gospel. Again, I say that in this world in which we live, there are many religions that represents all, thank you, Jesus, types of gospels or so-called good news, if you will. In my time, or back in the 60s and other, during the height of the civil rights movement, there were the black Muslims. spewing hatred and talking about at that time that Jesus was the white man God and the lack. But then after the death of Malcolm and many other splits, all of a sudden Minister Farrakhan took over, and now all he talks about is Jesus, but not the Jesus that we believe in. Because their belief in Jesus is that he just was another prophet, Amen. That he didn't die and raise up from the grave, but he is in heaven. So if he didn't raise up from the grave, we're still in bad shape. But now there's another movement in our time that's called the Black Hebrew Israelites. Now, on the internet, you can see all of this foolishness. And it started out in New York, spreading to many of the cities, large cities. And, you know, I remember when the black Muslim were popular, many of the churches was emptied out. And folk, and I might as well admit, I wanted to be one too. But the strangest thing happened. We went to the mosque to be part of it, fill out the paper, but they called everybody but me. And tell you the truth, I was a little hurt. I wonder what was wrong with me. Didn't know that God had already had what he wanted me to do, already spelled out. Amen. But at that time, I was a little hurt. And so this movement now say that can't nobody but black folk and Spanish folk be saved. They teach that to be saved, one must keep the law and the Sabbath. And now, they sort of remind me of Jehovah Witness, because many times to prove their point, they just run all over the Bible, picking certain scriptures and taking them out of context to sort of prove their point. On last night, I was listening to a debate, because they were debating with some black preachers at a black seminary, only to show their complete ignorance of scripture. But they said, and I don't know where they got that from, they said, well, we gonna prove that Jesus was just another man, because you see, Christians believe that he was conceived by an angel. Now, I don't know where that come from. I don't know no Christian believe that Jesus was conceived by an angel, but he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And they said that, well, Jesus was conceived by his daddy. In other words, Joseph was his daddy. Well, if Jesus is a man like us, that means that he has a fallen nature, and I'm just wasting my time. Because he's no better than me. Amen. And they're teaching all of this kind of foolishness. And then now, if you look, they're on the street corners in some of the largest cities. And if you sort of spewing this foolishness and garbage about only black folk going to heaven, Jesus died to save, well, if Jesus just a man, how he gonna save you in the first place?
That's right.
Amen. And that he only died to save black folk and Puerto Ricans and Haitians. Now, that's sort of stupid to me.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? And so I listened at that, because before I say something about persons, I want to know what they believe. And you can make the Bible, I'm going to get to the message in a minute, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. That scripture where Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother, father, sister, brother, you can't be my disciple. Now, that would be contradictory if Jesus actually meant that we are to hate our mother, father, sister, brother, then he tell us to love everybody. Because he's love. And there is no contradiction in the Bible. But I'm just showing you how folk can take the scripture and take it out of context and make it say what they want it to say. And so there are other non-Christian religions in the world spreading false doctrine, but the text declared that in the last day, many false prophets will rise up and they will deceive many. But he who endures or hold on to their faith in Christ to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, not just the black folks and Puerto Ricans and the like. and then the end will come. Well, what is this gospel all about? This gospel said that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, not black folk, not Spanish folk, not white folk, but to save sinners. Are you with me? And that's why we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, not black folk. God so loved the world, not Spanish folk. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that's regardless of your nationality, your ethnicity. He died for the world. Are you with me? Bottom line, my brothers and sisters, none of these religions or gospels will have an effect on the end time as will this gospel. Although many times these non-religions, non-Christian religion may be able to help a person turn over a new leaf in life, may be able to bring about reformation, but this gospel of the kingdom is above, beyond, and more powerful than any other gospel, because this gospel is about a man by the name of Jesus Christ, who according to scriptures, he died for the sins of the world, and after 3 days in the grave, he rose up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And that's why this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has the power to not only bring about a reformation, but it has the power to bring about a total transformation that leads to regeneration of the new birth. And that is the only gospel that has the power to save the vilest person to the utmost. But the Bible says in Romans 1:16, it is the power of God under salvation to everyone, not some folk, not black folk, but to everyone who believe. Meaning Jesus is the only way to be saved. For the Bible says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus also said that he is the door, according to John 10:9. And that's why he said prior to verse 9 and John 10:1, he said, anyone who does not enter by him, but tries to get in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. For instance, if I wanted to be welcome in your house, I'd knock on your door. I wouldn't try to come through your window, because if I come through your window, I might get shot or you'll call the police. And so in the same way, if a person tries to get to the Father and to be saved by some other way other than through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved by keeping a law. You will not be welcome into the kingdom. Well, let's see what it say. That's why the Bible says, again, in Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified, or no flesh shall be made right with God. Guess what it say? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does he mean by that? In other words, all the law does is just show us how sinful we are, but it doesn't have any power to help us. Amen. It just shows us how sinful we are, because the law calls for perfection. And that's not, that doesn't mean keeping it for a year or two, but that means keeping the law all your life without breaking not one of them. Are you with me? Because if you break one, the Bible says you're guilty of them all. And so as we make our way to our immediate text and consider the context of our main text, we note that Jesus begins this discourse in the response to some questions asked by the disciples, according to verse 3, concerning the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem. He asked them about the signs of the time and the end of the age as he sat on the Mount of Olives. And that's why it's called the Olivet Discourse. And so in verse 4 through 13, after telling them of the tribulation period and the rise of false prophets who would come and deceive many prior to Jesus' second coming, Jesus says in our immediate text, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And so with your prayer, just for a little while, won't be long, I won't talk from that subject, this gospel. And as we talk from this gospel, I want to lift by three things in your hearing, and I'm going to let you alone, because these three things will let us know why this gospel is so unique. Well, first of all, this gospel has the ability to tell folk where they are in life. Because, my brothers and sisters, the activity in our world as well as the activity in our lives many times requires each of us to stop and ask ourselves, where am I? Which is to suggest that in order to find out whether one's lost, you must first discover that you don't know where you are. And in the same way, in order to be saved, you must first recognize the fact that you are lost. And so the good news is that this gospel has the ability to tell folk where they are in life, meaning it helps us to fix our location in life. And that's why you hear a sermon that describes your situation. Strangely enough, it helps to bring definition to where you are and clarity to what you are experiencing. For instance, if you hear a sermon about the woman with the issue of blood and you identify with her helplessness and loneliness because you've also tried everything and anything for your deliverance but Jesus, you can say, that's me. It will help you to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Or perhaps you hear a sermon about the man born blind, and suddenly you become aware of the fact that there are some things that you can't see, and you begin to realize that we are all men and women born spiritually blind, and you can say, that's me. And my brothers and sisters, I believe it'll give a new meaning to that old hymn of the church that says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Or perhaps you identify with the prodigal son, because maybe at one time or even right now you walked away from the Lord and you began to waste your time, energy, and money on riotous, unproductive, and unredemptive living, and you are able to say, that's me, because all of a sudden you become aware of the fact that even though you were living, you thought you were living in a spiritual palace, in reality, you're living in a spiritual pig pen. You can say, that's me. And so you may not like it, but this gospel helps us to know where we are in life. Because it is the in this process of discovering where we are in life that enables us to move from being lost to being found, from being lost to being saved, all because of the fact that this gospel has the ability to tell folk where they are in life. Well, the devil gonna spite with me, but that's all right. I'm gonna get through it. Well, secondly, don't want y'all to hear this. This gospel has power to create whole persons in a broken world. Because it is in this context that this gospel is designed to take the fragments of human life and bring new meaning out of the old. In other words, this gospel is designed to take the ruined and wretched lives of our culture and subject them to the redemptive power of the Holy Ghost. Because this gospel has the capacity to make folk complete, to make folk whole. Now, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to it or not, but I've noticed that at every turn of Scripture, they affirm the fact of the wholeness that comes through the preaching of this gospel. For instance, the Syrophoenician woman's daughter wasn't just healed, she was made whole. Jairus' daughter wasn't just raised from the dead, but she was made whole. The woman with the issue of blood didn't just stop bleeding, but she was made whole. Because in each instance, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And so the good news of this gospel of the kingdom is that it had the power to make folk complete. It had the power to make folk whole. Because this same Jesus who spoke to those people and healed their spiritual and physical ailments in biblical times, he's still saying today that your faith will make you whole. Why? Because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. And moreover, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And so this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it has the power to create whole persons in a broken world. Well, finally, I told you it wouldn't be too long. This gospel is God's answer to a bad reputation. My brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to it or not, but it always amazes me as I make my way through Scripture. I find out that most of the people in the Bible with whom God had to deal with are themselves folk with a bad reputation. A typical example, Cain killed Abel. Noah got drunk. Abraham told lies. Jacob cheated Esau. Moses killed an Egyptian. Samson chose the wrong wife. Solomon had too many wives. His daddy David stole another man's wife. Peter was unpredictable. Matthew was an extortioner. James and John were hotheads. Judas was a traitor. Thomas was a doubter. Mark was a cop-out. Timothy was a failure. But because of the fact that this gospel is God's answer to a bad reputation, the good news is that nobody is too lost to be found, too far out to be brought in, too low down to be lifted up, too dirty that the blood of Christ can wash you and make you clean. Nobody is too soiled to be saved, too repulsive to be redeemed, too endangered to be rescued. All because this gospel is God's answer to a bad reputation. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. Now, I'm not talking about something I heard, but I'm talking about what I know, because I've experienced and seen in my own life how this gospel of the kingdom has brought a radical change in my life, as well as the lives of many folk who had a bad reputation. My brothers and sisters, I've seen pimps turn into preachers, dope addicts and alcoholics in the deacons and deaconess. I've seen prostitutes turn into missionaries and Sunday school teachers, all because this gospel of the kingdom is God's answer to a bad reputation. And so as I try to move to the close, let me say to someone this morning, yes, Lord, if you are not saved and you came here for the right reason, I tell you, you don't have to leave the same way you came, because you can come forth and receive the Lord this morning as Savior, Lord of your life. If you're backslidden and out of fellowship with the Lord and the church, you can come today and rededicate your life back to Christ and the church. If you need a prayer, you can come forth and we will pray with you concerning your situation. But now, if you're right with the Lord and everything is going all right, when you leave here today, you ought to tell your husband, tell your wife, tell your children, your grandchildren, tell somebody about this gospel. You can tell them that this gospel, it had the power to tell folk where they are in life and move them from lostness to foundness. You can tell them that this gospel had the power to create whole persons in a broken world. And it's God's answer to a bad reputation, because this gospel is about a man by the name of Jesus. A man who knew no sin became sin for us, because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, the bishop of my soul, Jesus, the author of my salvation, he hung dead and died for the sins of the world. And after laying in the grave 3 days and three nights, I tell you, bright early, he got up from the grave and he stepped up on resurrection ground, declaring, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
power, because Jesus lives. All fear is gone, ain't God all right? It's because he lives. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of salvation to everyone that believes. Ain't God all right? Yeah, Lord. And because he lives, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers. Yes, Lord. Nor heights, nor death, or any created thing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Ain't God all right? The reason I know he will, because I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded and sad, and I found in him a resting place. Oh, he has, he's made me glad. Ain't God all right? Don't fool me now. Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes. I know he's all right. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And then the end shall come. Don't listen to all this foolishness. These folk coming up with some little stuff they just heard the other way, coming out of books that were written by somebody, I know the Babylonian stuff. They are pulling all this stuff, messing up the minds of a lot of people. If Jesus is just a man, ain't no you, I don't care if you're a white Hebrew, a black Hebrew, an orange Hebrew, you going to hell. Because Jesus, a man, can't save another man. If that was true, Lord have mercy. When Abraham offered Isaac, Lord, that was just a picture of Jesus. He would have offered Isaac, let him die. But Jesus, the sinless one, the only man who ever kept the law without breaking that one all of his life was Jesus Christ.
Right.
No man, as long as you're in these earth suits, these dirt suits, you got a fallen nature. You cannot be perfect. You can't save yourself. Now, that's what the Bible says. We're saved by grace. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Only thing you had to do was believe. By grace through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift. I'm trying to hush of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. All the law can tell you is what not to do, but it can't help you not to do what you're not supposed to do. Are you with me? Lord, I'm through. I'm through. I'm finished. Come on, here.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.